I've known Dwight for a long time.
That's because everybody has.
Watch out, I'll bring Andy back up here. Anyway, I used to be an associate pastor in Ross Holt. That's when I met Dwight at the fellowship meeting. And I don't remember how long ago that was. A long time ago, yeah. Yeah, because it was after... No, it was in the 70s. Yeah, after I got done with Trinity Bible and then... Yeah, it was in the 70s, so it's been a while. Praise God. But Dwight, you know, he's such a blessing to us and the churches, Kirk, and they've been down many times, and Dwight would come down every year to help us working with the street kids, and it was great. He's such a trooper. I have to just, you know, just mention Dwight here because he'd do things that none of the pastors would do. So I tested him. Wait a minute, the altar call's not yet.
Sorry. Anticipation.
Okay, that's great. And so I tested him, and he's the only pastor I know out of all the groups we've had over 25 years working in Mexico. He's the only pastor I know that would eat pigeon meat. And turtle eggs. Yeah. It's the only one I know. Of course, he thought it was Cornish hen.
No, I said it was pigeon.
I don't know who told you it was a Cornish hen.
The waiter.
Oh. Were you there too? Oh.
I didn't eat that.
Praise God for Dave. Dave knew better. Andy would tell him, hey, don't eat that. That's not good for you. Let Dwight eat it. He just doesn't like Dwight for some reason. Praise the Lord. What a blessing this has been. I mean, last night I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing, but presence of God was so precious, and the music was so anointed. And, you know, I think about that word anointing. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? It says, the anointing of God will break the yoke. I remember praying in Mexico for a woman one time. Sometimes we take things for granted, you know. And I was just going along praying for people, laying my hands on them. And I said, recibe la unción, which is receive the anointing. She opened her eyes and looked at me and says, what's that? She wanted to know, what are you praying? And we just take it for granted, you know. People know, but it was the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God is the Holy Spirit. You know, everything is Jesus. It really is. And I think the longer you stay in ministry, the more you realize that it's all about Jesus and not about us. It really is. I remember when I started in Mexico, just a young preacher, you know, out of Bible school and pastored for a few years. But we really felt called to go to Mexico, and I went to language school for 9 months, and then we weren't even sure what we were going to do. We wanted to work with street kids and stuff, but where do you start? You know, you're in a foreign country, a different culture, different language, everything is new, and my Spanish wasn't that great yet, but some guy invited me. He says, come with me, we're working on a Bible school. I want you to help me to work on it. So didn't have anything else going, so we traveled 8 hours out to the desert to a town, city called Torreon in the state of Chihuahua, and deserty area, but it was a good-sized town, and we were working on this Bible school, and he was putting in the lights, and he had meetings each night for 3 nights, and I remember at night we'd go to the service, he'd preach, and the second night he'd preach. And the third day, he had a call, emergency, I don't remember what it was, and he had to run back to Saltillo, another city. He said, would you take the service for me? Somebody last night was talking about Mary Tyler Moore watching. And he said he had to, God changed his sermon. Well, I didn't even have a sermon. And I watch Andy and Mayberry. I still watch it. Haven't gotten beyond Andy and Mayberry and Barney Fife. Got to watch it and laugh. Anyway, I didn't even have a service, number one. Number two, my Spanish wasn't that great. Just got out of language school. And to preach in Spanish is another thing. Number three, it was a bigger church, the biggest church in Torreon. The pastors were both physicians. The husband and wife were both doctors. And so they had attracted all the physicians. And there was a college in town. And so they had the professors come. And they had the lawyers come because they were professional people. And it was just a beautiful church because they had money. So they built a beautiful church. And here now, they know nothing about me. They're used to this other preacher with my crummy Spanish, no interpreter. And now I had to do the third service, my very first sermon in Mexico. Just a young guy. My knees were knocking. I was so intimidated. I just was so nervous. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to preach. You know what you do when you don't know what to preach? You talk about love. That's the safest thing you can do. Dios es amor. God is love. God is good. You know, you relate to that, Kurt. Preach love. You're always safe. People like that. You know, but my Spanish was so bad. So I'm nervously ready to preach, and it was just like this. It was super quiet, and everybody was staring at me, waiting for this gringo, this young gringo. What are you going to, you know, like, okay, what are you going to tell us? And so once I get nervous, my voice gets high. Anybody ever have that happen to? I don't know. It's a curse that was put on me. When I get mad or nervous, my voice gets real high. And so my Spanish was really crummy then. I said, they're not going to understand me. It's like... And so God will put you in situations where you have to depend on Him. Yeah. I had no choice. I couldn't get out of it. We're out in the middle of the desert. Where am I going to run to? I had my camper. We were staying in my camper. And so... here I'm put in this situation. My very first service in Mexico had to be in a big church full of professional people, doctors and lawyers, and they're all waiting. Who is this guy? You know, what's he going to say? You talk about nerve-wracking. So I start my sermon. Dios es amor. Everybody, yeah, okay, God is love. Amor es Dios. Love is God, you know. I mean, where am I going with this? So I go, Dios es bueno. God is good, you know. Okay, yeah. Bueno es Dios, you know. And it's like, you know. All of a sudden, a woman jumps up and says, I see Jesus. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. He's right there by the cross above you, behind you. I see him. Man, now I had everybody's attention. I was afraid to look back, but I did. I didn't see anything, just the cross on it. I want to tell you, that whole service changed. Because Jesus came on the scene, and now they had their eyes on Jesus, not on this gringo pastor whose Spanish was crummy and couldn't get beyond God is love. It was just a sovereign move of God. God had put me in there because I didn't know where to go in Mexico. I didn't know where I was going to start. I knew nobody. And so God came on the scene. She said, I seen Jesus. Now everybody's sitting a little taller. The arms unfold. And everybody's looking for Jesus. They're all looking up. He's here somewhere. Where is she? Seen him. I mean, she said it just as plain as, I see Jesus. I didn't know what to do. I'm looking back. I thought, oh, Lord. God took over that service. Don't you love it when God takes over a service, when God is in control of the service?
Amen.
You know, we've got to be careful that we don't put God in the closet. He needs to be on the platform.
Amen.
We got to take him out of the closet and put him on the platform, because some churches are. Yeah. And so that service, people started getting healed. And I got a little bolder. Wasn't me, but you know, hey, all right. Anybody else have anything to say? Somebody see any ain't? No, I didn't say that. So I'm preaching this simple message, and people are getting healed all over the place. Things are happening. I never prayed for anybody. I never laid hands on anybody. I never prayed for deliverance. I was just, that was my first service in Mexico. And some guy goes, God just healed my back. You know, I felt like Catherine Coleman up there. Benny Hinn. Brother Shambach, you know. Somebody goes, my arm. And my arm. And the pastor goes, anybody else? I go, yeah. I don't need to preach. God's doing it. You know, this is God's service. One lady, she goes, my husband left me, and I was bitter against him. And she said, I felt something dark leave my heart.
Amen. Amen.
People are getting delivered. Never prayed for anything. So, boy, did we have a great service. But it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Jesus. Their eyes were now on Jesus, and it taught me a powerful lesson. And guess what? They invited me back for three. They said, can you come back for three more services? That other poor preacher, he was out. Wasn't my fault. He asked me, he said, what happened? I go, they invited me back for three more services. He goes, they did? I go, yeah. He said, go for it. Not only that, they had all these outreaches in these little ranchitos, these little communities, ranching communities. And so then they had me go to all these communities. I want to tell you, I had more services than I knew what to do with. All because of that one service. Never happened again like that. It was a sovereign move of God. I was desperate. Sometimes you got to be desperate. But you see, God, and he's still teaching me to get out of the way and let God be God. I was pastoring in Brookings. Never pastored anywhere longer than 3 years, Dwight. You're doing great. Praise God. I was pastoring in Brookings. I had a sermon, let God be God. And the Super 8 motel owner was there, so he put it up on his sign. Let God be God. He had it there for a long time, like 6 months. Let God be God. He liked it so much. But it's true. Let God be God. Amen?
Come on.
Let him out of the closet, so to speak. You know? And I've learned that over the years. You know, we try so hard. You know, these 20 years, God knows everything about what you've done. He knows all the victories, all the healings, all the pains, everything you've done. It tells us in Revelation on the seven churches, he walks through the midst of the candlesticks. What's that? Every church was labeled a candlestick or a lampstand. In the Greek, it just simply means light. Dwight handed out the little lights. So I wasn't sure I was going to talk about that, but then God said, there it is, confirmation. This church is simply a light.
Come on.
as well as the other churches. They're lights. It's a light in a world of darkness, and we're shining forth with the glory of God and the name of Jesus and the cross of Christ and the banner of victory in this community that's suffering and under the thumb of the devil. My wife, she was supposed to be gone last year. She's still here. She's a walking miracle.
Amen.
It's untreatable. Well, now God has to do it. That's good.
And so
the oncologist said, well, it's growing in the lung, and I've got to get you strong enough so you can take chemo, so we're going to try to strengthen you up for 2 months. I mean, not a good prognosis. So 2 months went by. They took another CAT scan. He was all excited. He came in, and this is without treatment, without anything. Came in and said, it's actually smaller. Praise God. It's actually smaller. So you won't need to take chemo. I said to the Lord, I don't want my wife to have to take chemo. So she went to physical therapy last week, and the woman there was giving her the therapy, and they can read everything over the computer. And I said, yeah, the tumor's smaller. She said, well, how did that happen? I go, it's called prayer. Just came out of my spirit. It's called prayer. Oh, well, how come she got that anyway? She never smoked in her life. I said, it's the devil. And her eyes got real big. She got quiet. I thought, I'm not holding back. It's the devil. Well, she didn't ask me any more questions. That was the end of it. We got to be bold. Somebody said, yeah, but brother, now you got to use wisdom and, you know, be careful. Well, yeah, I agree with that. But sometimes we get so much wisdom, we don't say anything. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. First, the Jew, and also the Greek, or us, the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm leaving tomorrow if you don't like this message. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going back to Viking country, Minneapolis, where they're building a new stadium for the Vikings. And the Gophers are doing good in ice hockey, if you like hockey. I'm leaving. Dwight has to repair all the damage. That's why I like this kind of ministry. Say whatever you want and you're out of here. I'm already hooked up. I don't even have to hook up my camper. One pastor called me. I used to be really wild when I was younger. I mean, when I was pastoring in Brookings, sometimes the anointing would come, I'd run around the church, and, you know, it was just, I'd be like a windmill on the platform. Well, if I ran around the church now, the service would be over by the time I got back here. Come on, Dwight, follow me.
Let's go.
Hallelujah. We're here to glorify Jesus. Last night, Jesus was glorified. I felt the anointing, the Holy Spirit. I seen rain. That one song, I don't remember what it was. They were all anointed, but that one song, I had my eyes closed and I could see it raining in the church, but it wasn't water, it was oil. And it was droplets. You ever see rain when it's, you said, did you literally see it? No, I seen it in my spirit. And one droplet hit somebody over here and whew, they got healed. Another droplet hit somebody over here. They got set free. Another droplet. Music can bring deliverance. If you don't believe it, read about David the prophet. How music, he created instruments, and music literally delivered Saul from a demon. And he did it with a harp. Now, how do you do that with a harp? It was the anointing. It wasn't the noise. It was Jesus.
Come on.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God's been teaching me that, to just get out of the way and let him do what he wants to do, not to question. That's where we miss it sometimes. Well, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And we want to question God. He's God, I'm not. He's on the throne. If there's something that I need to change, I'm willing to change it, but I'm not going to question God about everything. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, when we die, we still win. We go right to heaven. We just keep right on going. We're all going to end up there anyway. You're not going to live here forever. Amen?
Yes.
You actually said amen to that? I tell you, I like to have a good time in church. And I'm sharing these stories to uplift Jesus, to let you know that God is in control. And when we let him flow in the service, when I pastored in Brookings, I remember how God taught me there some things. We were having our regular service, and I had to lead the singing because we didn't have a song leader. Can you imagine me singing? Last time I sang a special in church, they said, can you sing On a Hill Far Away? And they weren't talking about the song. They said, do it somewhere else. I'm serious. I actually sang a special in Ross Hole. You ask my wife if this isn't the truth. And a guy came forward after the song. Can you imagine this? Somebody walked forward in front of everybody. And he said, did you practice for that? I practiced for hours. I definitely knew what my calling wasn't. So I'm leading the singing. We had a gifted pianist. He said to me, brother, you always sing in the key of C. I go, well, then pick all the songs that are in the key of C. I didn't know anything better. And we're singing away, enjoying the presence of the Lord. You know, we used hymn books back then, and I remember singing something. I think it was At the Cross or something. Anyway, after the second song, there was a young man sitting there with a brace on his leg. He was a state champion, wrestling champion. And the family was all wrestlers. The father was a wrestler, and the kid was just great at wrestling. And he had torn a ligament, and his leg was in a brace, and he had crutches. And I seen him come in on crutches. I thought, oh, no, he's wrestling, and he messed himself up. And they sat in the second row. And after I finished the second song, God said, I'm going to heal that young man. And it was just like, shook me up, like, where did that come from? Well, wasn't me. We'd never done that before. We always sang so many hymns and songs. And then, you know, we had our service all in order. And he said, pray for him now. Does God talk? Sure he does, in our spirit. Came to me real strong. Pray for him now. And so I go, okay. Well, I said, God, I believe God said, see, that gave me a little safety. I believe God said. I believe God said he wanted to heal your leg. Would you come up here? And they're all looking at me like, well, can't you wait till after the song service, after the pre? We never do it this way. Huh? He'll take those religious cobwebs and knock them down. He'll send your religious cows out to pasture. And so, you know, can God interrupt the service if he wants? I mean, it's his service, and he wants to interrupt it. Let him interrupt it. Praise God. You'll be blessed if you do, if you let him. So I said, come on up. And the devil's saying, you're crazy. What if it don't happen? You're going to look foolish. You know how the devil likes to talk. I didn't know the devil visited churches. Well, praise God, he's bound from this church in Jesus' name. Amen. We took care of that earlier. anyway, he came up and I said a simple prayer, quiet prayer. He's the healer, not me. I had to laugh one time, this Catholic charismatic priest. I can't think of his name. We had the charismatic movement. I was at the meeting. There was a bunch of nuns on the front row. And he was gone, and he goes, he bent over in front of them. I won't do it. And shook his tail. He goes, I'm just a donkey. And he didn't use donkey. For the Lord. And they about fell off their chairs. And he goes, hee-haw, hee-haw. I thought, this guy's crazy. We're just buckets for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's the water. And we just slosh it. Ooh-da-ba-ha. We just slosh it around. When it hits somebody, God touches them. That's all we are, vessels of God, nothing more. So he took his crutches and walked back to his seat, and they sat there and never said a word. That night, they testified. We used to have Sunday night service. And he goes, Pastor, when you prayed for me, all the pain left. And I could have walked back without the crutches, but I was afraid to step on it. The mother goes, I checked it as soon as he sat down, and the swelling went completely down, but I was afraid to take the brace off. And I said, well, don't feel bad. I was afraid to say anything, too. We were all in the same boat. I couldn't judge them because I was afraid nothing happened. You don't have to feel anything sometimes. God just works.
Yes, amen.
But we were able to glorify the Lord and lift Jesus up. And we've seen something wonderful about just letting Jesus do what he wants to do. That's why I'm sharing these stories. Another reason, I don't want you to go to sleep. And somebody said if you share stories, nobody will sleep during this story. I'm just kidding. I had to preach up in the mountains of Mexico. It took us hours to get there. And we the people met under a tree, a big tree. There was no church. They still had adobe houses. We drove the pickup along with a megaphone inviting people to come. And these guys, they have machetes. It's intimidating to see these workers, that the big machetes, you know, the Mexicans carried. And they came to the service just with their machetes and everything. And they lined up under this tree. And I just started preaching to them. I don't remember what I was preaching. But it was like preaching to a brick wall. You ever have that happen? And they were just like this. And they had these big machetes. I kept looking at the machetes. They're the longest machetes I've ever seen. They look bad. It was intimidating for this young preacher. And I'm sitting up there preaching to them. And they're like, okay, not a word. I'm trying to get them to laugh. You know, some of our American jokes don't interpret into Spanish. It just didn't work. And they're like, okay. And so I just keep preaching to them. I mean, we drove for hours to get up there, and I'm thinking, man, this is like a total waste of time. It's never a waste of time when you put Jesus in charge. The Word of God will not return void. It will accomplish exactly what God wants it to accomplish, even when you think it didn't do anything. The Word of God is living and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I said, well, let's pray. And I started praying in English because I knew they didn't understand me. And I said, God, help. Basically, that was my prayer. God, you've got to do something. Help. I mean, they'd not only run you out of town, they chop your head off. I'm just kidding. And God said, Pray for the sick. I didn't know if I wanted to preach anymore to them. They actually looked mad at me. And so I said, is there anybody here that needs... And nobody came up for salvation. I said, anybody here needs prayer for any pain or anything you have? I'd like to pray with you. Nobody moved. God said, say it again. Anybody needs prayer? I said a little louder. Finally, this guy with crutches started coming up slowly. And when he got in front of me, he dropped his crutches and he fell on his face in front of me. And I thought, oh, Lord, I wanted to pick him up. And God said, just pray for him. And so I prayed again, a simple prayer. You know, sometimes we think if we can pray loud enough, the devil will leave. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing. Sometimes it's so quiet. And I prayed a simple prayer, and the guy jumped up from laying down, almost hit me in the face. Jumped up, landed on his feet, started dancing, did a little dance in front of the people and danced across them. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I was just as shocked as everybody else. Did a dance in front of them. I thought, oh my gosh. Guess what? Everybody started coming forward. Had nothing to do with me. Jesus came on the scene. Amen. I want Jesus to come on the scene. It's not how oratorical or how flowing my words or how persuasive my speech is. Thank God for the gifts. But it's all about Jesus. Amen. We try so hard. And sometimes when we're ready to give up, then God comes on the scene. Hallelujah. I said God comes on the scene. Yes. How many believe God is here? Yes. How many need a touch from God this morning? I prayed. I said, God, just take over this service. I know Kirk does the same thing, and Marnie and the group. You have a unique church. You're blessed. They're letting the Spirit of God move. You say, yeah, but there's a danger. The granola bar Christians will come. The fruits, nuts, and flakes. We're learning. Let them come. We're learning. We're learning. But we can go the opposite way. I believe in order, but we can go the opposite way till we learn how to say God. And we're so careful. We don't want anybody to get offended. We don't want to go against anybody. We want to be so careful. Well, I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm just talking about Jesus. If that's offensive, then you're in the wrong place. God wants to get out of the closet. That's the word he gave me. Not that he's in the closet here. I'm not talking about that. This is a word, a message that God has given me to spread around. He wants to get back on the platform. He wants to glorify his name. He wants to glorify himself. Hallelujah. He will glorify himself. And if he can't do it here, he'll go down the street and find somewhere where he can be glorified. And he'll find somebody that's so hungry for him that he can move through and show himself strong. It's not about personality. It's not about who we are. It's not about how we look. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. That's what God's shown me. Stronger than ever before. Every time I get in a tough situation, guess what? We have to depend on him. when we have no choice, when the doctor can't help you, when the banker can't give you a loan, when the brother-in-law is broke, when you lose your job. I mean, when some puppet prays and you get a flat tire. I didn't mean to pick on Andy. I hope he's not offended. When the air conditioner breaks down, are you still praising the Lord? When things don't work out the way you think they're supposed to work out, are you still praising Jesus? Are you still glorifying Jesus? Are you still lifting him up in your midst? When it's all him and nothing else. That's the place he wants to get us, is out of the way. He wants to use us as his vessels, but where it's totally him and where the Holy Spirit can begin to minister to us. One of the best sermons, and I'll close with this, one of the best sermons I ever had is when I forgot my Bible at home. Ask my wife. I had to travel. I was traveling from Aberdeen to Ipswich. I ended up pastoring there. And I had a sermon like you wouldn't believe. And I love to mark my Bible up. I had it all figured out. All the verses, everything. Whew. My first pastorate was in Ipswich, South Dakota. West of Aberdeen, little town of Ipswich. Boy, I was going to preach. And we had two little kids, and we're going to church, and I get to the church. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? My wife, I don't know. I forgot my Bible. I was falling apart. And then I'm trying to think of the sermon, and I forgot half the verses. I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And I found a Gideon Bible. We were renting a place at the time. And I thought, I'm really in trouble. So I got up and, man, I just started preaching whatever God gave me, whatever came out of my mouth. I started talking about Jesus, what God was doing. And, you know, I was just full of energy and just going. And the people were going, wow, what happened to our pastor? Your pastor got desperate for Jesus, and now Jesus is there ministering by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just, pastor, need to forget our Bible at home. I don't know. That doesn't even sound good. We just need to preach and let God move. I'm not against teaching, but we just need to let the Holy Spirit move and do whatever he wants to do. Praise God. Praise God. That's what I want. I know you want it too. Just let God move. We still see, as long as part of us is in it, and I said I'd close, but let me share something really quick about a young preacher. Dwight, quit smiling. You never give a preacher a mic. And this is a true story. And the older man of God, will you listen to one quick story?
Yes.
Have no choice. Lock the doors. I won't let you eat until... No, I'm kidding. I thought I was in the zoo. I could hear the lions roaring at somebody's stomach. And this young preacher was raring to go. And so the older... preacher that had a healing ministry, he said to the young guy, I'm letting you take the service tonight. He goes, what? He said, you're taking the service. God said to give you the service tonight. Man, he was so excited. You know, he was raring to go and on fire. He had the people lined up. He started, after he preached, you know, started praying for him. First person got healed. Prayed for the second person got healed. Prayed for the third person. Nothing happened. Prayed for the fourth person got healed. Prayed for the fifth person. Nothing happened. Prayed for the sixth person. Nothing happened. Where am I going with this? After the service, he says, wasn't that a great service? The old guy goes, yeah, it was. What happened? He goes, what do you mean? He said, well, prayed for the first two people, got healed. And third one, nothing. Fourth one, got healed. Fifth one, and it started getting less and less. He said, what happened? Young Eric goes, I don't know. I don't understand it either. He said, I'll tell you what happened. The first two people, you had your eyes totally on Jesus. Then you started seeing what God was doing. Started looking at the miracles, the healings. Got your eyes off of Jesus. Got your eyes off of Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. I wish Jesus would appear every service. I really do. So you get your eyes on Jesus. Completely on Jesus. We honor men of God. We honor the people of this church and the leadership. We honor them for serving God. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're all pointing to Jesus. This is the message I hear. It's all J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And when we can get to that point, I'm telling you, we're entering revival. When God is in control of the services in our lives, we're moving into revival. You won't need to have altar calls. It'll be like one church I was preaching in Mexico, a big church, and God just took over, and people were literally coming up to the pastor and saying, how we can get saved? How can we get saved? Well, I'm still preaching. I thought, what's going on? People are walking up to the pastor. They're saying, I want to get saved, because the Holy Spirit was moving. God was moving. People were being convicted. Things were happening. Had nothing to do with me, but the Spirit of God was moving. They were saying, Pastor, how can we get saved? When people start going up to Dwight, say, Pastor, I want to get saved. We're entering into revival. Yes, amen.